Hello and welcome. This is Carly Anderson, and today it's my pleasure to introduce you to Darcy Loma. Darcy is a fellow coach and peer colleague, and someone who mentors and trains coaches, and she has agreed to let us in on her journey. About a year ago in the summer of 2014, Darcy applied for and received her MCC credential, and I thought it would be great to explore the journey that Darcy went on so that it might give you some insight as well. So thank you so much, Darcy, for agreeing to do this, and really, really look forward to interviewing you today.
Thank you, Carly. I'm really excited to be here, and I think it's a great service you're providing to your mentoring clients to help understand, you know, through the eyes of one person's journey, how they got to the MCC. So I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Yeah, it's not often we sort of get this opportunity, so it's really, I think, something that could provide some real value to some coaches. Mm. So I'm wondering whether you wouldn't mind just giving us a little bit about what you did before you became a coach, or anything you want to tell us about your journey to getting to become a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a career before becoming a full-time coach. I launched my coaching and consulting business full-time in January of 2013, so about 2.5 years ago. And before that, I really worked in the nonprofit sector and for a number of political campaigns, and did some advocacy work, and also worked in for the government. And most recently, my position right before doing coaching full-time, I was the director of a U.S. Senate office for one of our U.S. senators here. And I think, prior to that, I was working for a leadership consulting firm, and that was where I got the bug and realized that I loved, I didn't know it was coaching. I didn't know it had a name. I didn't know there was a profession, but that I really loved helping people to increase their self-awareness on their impact and improve their leadership skills and their, again, at the time it wasn't emotional intelligence. This was probably mm-hmm. in the late 80s, early 90s, but and it had a lot of people coming to me for thoughts and insights and advice. And so I feel like even though my career prior to coaching was really varied, it all had pieces of it in terms of being in the helping professions and, you know, working in government and nonprofits and in a consulting firm.
Well, the great thing about asking you these questions, Darcy, is I'm learning already more about you than I knew. So, boy, the whole political landscape. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that would be interesting alone, let alone anything else to be able to see from back then to today.
Oh, fascinating! Yeah.
Yes, maybe for another conversation. That's another
Absolutely.
Whole area.
Sure.
But I am interested in how you got from the leadership consulting firm and realizing some of this stuff around people coming to you for, you know, the whole thing around increasing awareness and that. How did you get to your coach training program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so without going into the full long story, and maybe another time we can do that, the shorter version is that when I was working in the political field, and I had just come off of, I was actually down in Florida for 38 days doing the presidential recount, and I got back to, I live in Madison, Wisconsin, I got back to Madison, and I was completely exhausted and really just worn out, and I decided that I wanted to make a change in my life, and so I started to research different graduate programs. Well, in the meantime, I was approached by one of our U.S. senators here to come and work for him. And I said, well, I'm really done with that. I'm exhausted. I don't think I'd do you a service. So no, thank you. And he convinced me to come on for 6 months while they were working to find another director. Well, as part of that process, I realized that I really did enjoy working for him, and did a lot of public speaking on his behalf and met with constituents and different groups. And And so my journey then ended up becoming, it became clear that I was really enjoying that, but I still wanted to do my master's. And so I found a program through Pepperdine University where you could continue working full-time and go to get your, it was a master's of science in organization development. And so I would go to class for 2 weeks or so, about every 3 months over the course of 2 years. And it was in China and France, Mexico and California. And as part of that, I had to write a master's thesis. And I was writing it on the ethical considerations of a gubernatorial transition team. And my, my thesis advisor said, your energy doesn't seem really exciting about that topic. What would it be if you could throw out all the rules and you could do your thesis on anything you want, what you love? And I said, well, gosh, I'd do it on life coaching, but I can't do that. And she said, why not? And I said, well, I don't know. Can I? And she said, yeah, of course. So that was how I first got, you know, I sort of knew of this profession, but I didn't really know too much. So I ended up doing my studying and doing my master's thesis for 2 years. I took 100 former U.S. Senate interns. I randomly selected 10. I coached them for 3 months. We did a couple pre-tests and post-tests, and I hired a university professor to do all the stats and analysis. And I remember the day he called me and said, holy cow, you know, you regardless of where those students, those former interns started in terms of happiness, goal attainment, fulfillment, those sorts of things, you can unequivocally say that after 3 months of coaching, they were happier and more fulfilled and had achieved their goals. And he said, you need to publish this. That's what the spark was, that I knew I was onto something. And that's when then I started in my journey of formal training. And I at first attended the Coaches Training Institute and then went on from there. And I'll pause because that story was way longer than I wanted it to be. My apologies.
No, that is so fascinating. Again, so amazing how we have different journeys to get to coaching. And it came through a master's program for you. So that's really a fabulous story. And I know so often coaches want to know, and how did you get there? How did you become a coach? And
yes.
So, no, that's fabulous. I actually know somebody else who did that Pepperdine exact program, probably in a different year than you. So I'm aware of that international program that you did. And what a wonderful joy it was for her as well to go to those different countries. It's quite an amazing thing.
So, yeah, it was an amazing program. And then I was really blessed to have somebody who was very present and tuned into my energy to see that, you know, the topic I had chosen really wasn't resonant for me. And she opened up and allowed me to step through this dream door, which is really then what, you know, the start of my becoming a life coach.
A dream door, that's a wonderful term.
Yes.
How did dream door come about?
Oh, when I think about my history and background professionally, I certainly always had wonderful positions where I had a great impact, but there was never that real alignment with my passion, and this truly was a dream door. I mean, it felt like that door opened and I stepped through, and it took quite a while from that initial exposure to coaching to becoming a full-time, doing this full-time and launching my business, but it became so clear to me. As a matter of fact, I hired a coach. I've worked with many, many coaches over the past decade or two, but I hired a coach when I was making this transition, and the senator I was working for had announced he was not going to be seeking re-election after 24 years, and I remember my coach helping me really identify that this is my passion and that I need to, you know, slam that dream door wide open and walk through it and not look back, and that's what I've done.
It's such a great image. Did you come up with that term dream door? Because I don't know that I've heard it before.
I don't even know that I've ever said it before. It just is, and it truly was a dream door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it sounds like you had somebody who was really there and listening to what was important to you versus what you thought you needed to do.
Absolutely. And, so yeah, because at the
great
time,
coach.
Exactly. At the time, I was, you know, talking with my parents and my husband and friends. It was sort of like, okay, so you're going to go work for the next U.S. senator, or you're going to go work on that nonprofit, or you're going to, you know, it was sort of like, this is what you do. And my coach was completely coming at it from a different angle, and was it was like a clean slate. And she was asking me powerful questions and really digging deep about looking at my passion and interest, and really helped me to step forward into the fear. And I say that because my husband stays home full time with our daughters. He has since they were born, and so it was a scary move to go full time because I've never not had health insurance, and I've never not had a salary and you know, stability and a safety net. And she, I credit her. It was wonderful to help me jump.
What a wonderful story, and the power of getting coached yourself. I mean, nothing from, you know, my experience too can substitute for having your own coach and coaches and getting the real true benefits in your bones of being coached versus going through a coach training program and then saying, well, I love this thing called coaching, but I've never really experiencing the depth of what it can do for you personally. So
yeah,
thanks for being a great model for coaching by being coached.
Yeah, and it is truly one of the reasons that I almost always have a coach. People, friends will say, but you are a coach. Why do you need a coach? I say, well, yeah. Dentists need dentists, you know.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, really, and all the top people. I mean, people are the top people in the world. You know, Roger Federer has a coach.
Yes, right.
I mean, Serena Williams, you know, has a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
like, no, okay, they're in the sports environment, but they actually mental, physical, emotional, they're the whole package as well these days.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So then, there's so much about this I'd like to ask, but I guess what I want to sort of see, where are you now in terms of the types of clients? If you give us a general idea, how would you describe your coaching business now?
Mm-hmm. It's really evolved, and I feel blessed to have abundance. I mean, I am really, really blessed. And so how I'd say it's now, I really like to coach high-achieving, successful women. That's my sweet spot. Though, ironically, the more I put that out in the world, the more men clients I get. So I'm not sure what the universe is saying to me. But I really, and most importantly, I love coaching people who are willing to step in, to be vulnerable, to be raw, to be authentic. You know, they aren't saying, okay, you know, fix me or do me or, you know, or don't have this guard up. So more importantly, than who the person is or what industry or where they come from. It's sort of how they show up. And I also have gotten to a place in my coaching career where I'm also looking for, is there good chemistry? And I know and I've learned really the hard way that there isn't always going to be a perfect fit between the client and me. And that's okay. And it's not personal. It doesn't say anything bad about me as a coach. And it certainly doesn't say anything bad about that person as a client. It's just, that's not the right fit. So I'm mostly looking for that chemistry. My business has evolved. Now I'm coaching a lot more leaders and executives. I also do a lot of team coaching, systems coaching, relationship coaching. I've got a certification from CRR Global in organization and relationship systems. And so I coach, you know, management teams or leadership teams, or maybe it's two people in a business that are having some conflict and they want to be able to work better together, that sort of thing. So my clients have really evolved, where I was doing a lot more pure life coaching to doing more executive and systems coaching.
Mm. So you've got quite a mix there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing then, how did you go for your ACC or did you go directly for your PCC? What was your first credential with the ICF?
Yeah, my first credential was the ACC, and then I did get the PCC and then the MCC.
And how long between getting your PCC or your ACC to your PCC approximately do you remember, and then to your PCC to MCC?
Yes, and I did not remember, but I appreciate you sending some of your curiosities in advance so I could prep, because I had to actually go back and look at my timeline. I started my master's program in 2004, which is when I started then really that intense work on my master's thesis and doing, you know, that literature review and really studying the profession of coaching. Then I started with the Coaches Training Institute in 2007, and then I had a couple babies. So it took me a while to get certified. So it was then in 2011 that I got my ACC and then also my CPCC, which is a Certified Professional Coactive Coach. And then I went and got certified in the what I was just talking about, the relationship and systems training. So I got certified in that in 2012, and right on the heels of that, I got my PCC also in 2012. And then in 2014, I also did go and get my BCC, my Board Certified Coach, from the Center for Credentialing and Education. And then it was 2014 that I got my MCC. So that was a lot of dates and a lot of numbers. Basically, from when I discovered my passion for coaching to getting my MCC was probably about 10 or 11 years. Mm-hmm. It was about 3 years from getting my ACC in 2011 to getting my MCC. And it was about 2 years from getting my PCC in 2012 to getting my MCC in 2014.
That means you must have been doing a lot of coaching.
A lot of I found my passion, and I was, yes, absolutely, coaching as much as I could. I just dove right in. And I think one of the things, as I was reflecting and preparing for our conversation today, when I think about my journey to MCC, I think because I was coaching a lot while I was in training and getting certified and hiring mentor coaches, I kind of think I skipped the stretch. I didn't allow myself to get really bad habits that I had to break. I was, as opposed to, for instance, let's say if I had been coaching 10 years and then decided I wanted to do my MCC, even as it was going from PCC to MCC in those 2 years, wow, did my skills went shot through the roof. And I still have a lot to learn. And you know, obviously I'm in your mentor coaching group and I have my MCC. I have a real value and an ethic for personal growth and professional development and continuing, you know, sort of that lifelong learning. But the things that I already was starting to get into what could have been a bad habit as I was hiring my mentor coach when I got my PCC, I immediately, was redirected. And I couldn't believe how valuable it was to get that feedback, because I thought I was a pretty darn good coach as a PCC. And wow, did I have a lot to learn to get to that MCC level, which incidentally is one of the things I'm so impressed with the International Coach Federation, is that for me to get this credential, I truly became a better coach. It wasn't like just cross off, the check marks and, cross off items on a list and put your time in. I truly had to learn how to be masterful to get to that MCC credential.
Yeah, I can imagine the journey you've been on, and because I've been down a similar path myself. But you mentioned that you really got the feedback from your mentor coaches. I think that really is a key point for those mm-hmm. who want to. It really takes time, and you need to get feedback along the journey. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you got that along the journey. But what would you say is the biggest internal shift that you maybe had to get from the feedback you were being given to go from PCC to MCC skill level?
Hmm. Yeah, I had the biggest internal shift for me was there was a couple. One is to really trust the client and hold the client as the expert. and to let go of this need to have to figure it out or have the answer or look smart or provide value. So really not only trusting the client, also trusting the process and of coaching. And that really required my having to let go of my ego and having to be very clear on my letting, taking off my consulting hat when I'm in coaching and not bleeding those two together from my master's in organization development where I'm coming in with a consulting hat. That was probably the biggest internal shift for me. And then the final piece, I think, was just like to let it be easy. I couldn't believe when I stopped working so hard how much easier it is to just be present and trust your client and let their energy inform the next question. And, you know, that was something I didn't expect on my journey. That was probably one of the biggest shifts, too.
Yeah, and especially when you doing programs. I mean, you mentioned you're accredited in other programs, so you basically have a consulting hat, and then you have to shift into a coaching and being able to discern the boundaries and what the benefits are to the client of both can often get blurred.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience of mentoring, yeah. And even my own experience as a coach and teacher, trainer, mentor, is how those different roles can get blended.
Yeah.
And so I know that the ICF, one of the things is they understand, they really do, that we bring in all these other modalities. However, for a coaching credential, we need to demonstrate we know how to do coaching versus blending it with consulting, teaching, training, et cetera. So how did you, or maybe what tips do you have for those that are on their journey toward their MCC to tips or tools for actually shifting your mindset or your way of coaching from blending mm-hmm. and bringing in all those other modalities to just basically being present to coaching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say the biggest tip, the biggest thing that really helped me was hiring mentor coaches and joining mentor groups. And I invested a lot in my own coaching development and skills. That was probably the biggest thing. And what was interesting to me as part of that process then is that I really had to unlearn. I mean, I remember when I was going from my PCC to MCC, I really had to neutralize my language, and I had to unlearn all of these sort of formulas and ways to do things, ways to coach. You start here and then you do A, B, and C, and D, and just let all of that go and just be present. Now, as part of the learning, I had to learn all of those, you know, the language and the process and steps and the formulas. But that was probably the biggest shift for me was then trusting that I had that and then I could let it go. Kind of like when I think about, you know, downhill skiing. You learn, okay, I have to make my toes go together like pizza, and I need to bend my knees, and I need to go to one side and the other, and if I want to go faster, I put my legs like French fries. But eventually you get to the place where you just hop off the chairlift and you're just skiing down the hill. You're not thinking about all those rules and all of those. That probably was similar. I had to, you know, let go of all of that because ultimately it was keeping me too much in my head, and which got in the way of my being present with my client.
That's such good advice because and one of your values really shines through consistently here of being curious and being a learner and putting yourself in the position of learning and unlearning without, it sounds like, making it about your esteem or who you are when you get feedback that somehow I'd love to hear how you relate to when you're being given feedback. How does it land with you?
Well, it easier now. I'll tell you, when I first sent in a recording to my mentor coach and for that when I was going for the MCC, and she ripped it apart. And I remember thinking, I picked a good recording. So I was like, whoa, oh my gosh. Now in hindsight, oh my goodness, thank goodness she ripped it apart, because it was awful. The client had come from a government office, a nonprofit, and I really related to her, and I jumped into that mentoring role. And I really thought I was providing her great value because I had been there and I knew what she needed to know. Right? And that was not masterful coaching. That was not coaching at all. And while she got great value from our conversation, it was not a coaching conversation. So I really absorb and eat up and love feedback. Now the only other thing I'm going to say, a tip that I learned, and I won't name any names because I don't have any interest in throwing anyone under the bus, but I hired some mentor coaches initially that were not, let me just say they weren't good. I found out since then that there are some people who were grandfathered in as MCCs. When I had sort of that poor experience, I started, and the next three mentor coaches that I hired were all not only MCCs, they were all also current ICF assessors. And that to me made a big difference, because the first ones that I hired did not have I didn't know to make that distinction up front when I was looking to hire a mentor coach, but the quality of the feedback and the mentoring just wasn't nearly as good as I have gotten now with mentor coaches who are either current ICF assessors or who have received that that credential in their own right and not as a grandfather. And you may be able to correct me if I'm wrong or misunderstanding it, but that was sort of shared with me afterwards when I was reflecting back on why were those first couple not so good.
No, that's a really, really great tip, is just to really interview the mentor coach and make sure that they can provide the type of feedback, so you've given some insight into what to seek out. I'm wondering if there's anything else you admire or any qualities that you look for when you're looking for a mentor coach or to improve your coaching skills.
Yeah, it kind of depends, I think, on where you're at in the journey. Because so I hired, my first was a mentor coaching group. It was not a good experience. It wasn't horrible, but it just really wasn't a good experience. And that was a group. And so from there, I knew I needed some one-on-one, and I needed to have some very specific feedback to me. And so the next two were individual mentor coaching. And then with your group, Carly and Karen, I knew I wanted to go back and have a group again. In particular, what was really intriguing to me about your group was, while I already had my MCC, was I know I still have it. I have a ton to learn still, and that's okay. That's just part of the process of continuing to grow professionally. But it was intriguing to me to have the different levels of ACC, PCC, and MCC in the group, at knowing that you, part of your design with Karen, was that you were going to make those distinctions and make it clear what's the difference between the three levels. And I really wanted to solidify that for myself of what is the difference from an ACC to PCC and MCC. And so I really appreciated that rigor. That 2 years ago when I started the journey probably would have maybe, I don't know, maybe would have, wouldn't have served me. I just knew at that 2 years ago I really needed a one-on-one. So my answer, I guess the main thing is, to say what is the experience that you need, when your participants are listening to the call, to really go to that next level and then find the resource that will support you, given them where you're at in the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so having clear distinctions between the credential levels and being able to, yes, articulate mm-hmm. by competency what some of those distinctions are.
Yeah.
Sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your first recording was ripped apart by your mentor coach. And I know the whole process of recording sessions is both a painful one and can be a very enlightening one, depending on how you view them. But I am wondering, do you sort of have a sense of how many Can you remember how many recordings you did before you got to two that you and your mentor coach decided would be good to put in for your MCC?
Well, I made a habit and a practice of recording as often as I could. So, and I know that's not, I'll get to the answer of your question, but that was one thing. I found that when I first started recording, I was so nervous. I was showing up differently, and they weren't quality coaching that I could submit. And so I just started to let go of thinking about, this is going to be the best coach recording that I'm going to submit. And I just started recording everything. And that took the pressure off, and I sort of eased into that's just part of the process. It was no longer like a high stakes, this is the recording. So that was important as part of my journey to getting more comfortable. And I'd say, it's a good question of how many recordings. I would say, I don't know. More than half a dozen. And part of the reason I'm having a hard time is because I had so many different mentoring experiences. As a matter of fact, when I was hiring my third mentor, I had already submitted for the MCC, and I was just sort of assuming there's a high chance that I won't pass because the bar is very high, and I had done my research and knew that you could resubmit recordings. And so I hired my third mentor coach, and then that morning, and I put my payment through, and that afternoon I went out and got the mail, and I got my letter that I got my MCC. And I thought, you know, that is the universe telling me, don't stop learning. Like, don't stop, you know, just because you've got these letters doesn't mean that you don't have a whole lot of learning to do. And so I still, even after I had the MCC, sent lots of recordings to that mentor, you know, for feedback. And then, of course, joined your group to, you know, even just continue that journey. Coaching is so, it's so rich, and it's so complex, you know, that's what I find, like, I just never can absorb enough. I'm always learning something new and different about how to be better service to my clients. I can't even remember. I just talked so long, I can't even remember what your question was. My apologies.
Well, you perfectly answered it. No, I asked you how many recordings, and you gave a lot of great information about.
That's right.
You know, just recording often and long enough that you don't even consider, you're not even aware of being recorded anymore.
Yeah.
That's such an important thing, because that takes away from your presence and your ability to be fully just who you are.
Yeah.
And then you had at least six, if not more, and then you applied and you actually got past the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all wonderful tips. I'm wondering if there's... This question often comes up, and I know how to answer it for myself, but I'm interested in for you is, what do you feel is the benefit for you personally and professionally of having your MCC?
That's a great question. So personally, huge benefit that my confidence and skills and effectiveness just went through the roof. So I probably I'd say for me that's the biggest thing. I don't think I have ever had someone reach out to me because I'm an MCC, I want to hire you as a coach. I don't know. I don't think I have. But usually people find me because their friend Susie is like full of life and quit her job and happier than she's ever been. And they say, Susie, what happened? She said, I hired a coach. Oh, who is it? And right, it's almost all referral and impact from that standpoint. I do think, though, having that MCC in terms of it probably has opened the door for me to do more executive coaching and more sponsored coaching where there's an organization that's sponsoring it. And I don't know necessarily if it's because the organization has the sophistication to know that the MCC is, you know, that highest level certification. I don't think so. I think it's more how I show up, the level of confidence and presence that I have that letter has given me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's still some work to be done by the ICF in promoting the MCC and what it does professionally. I know personally for me, I was invited to submit for some coaching, a coaching contract that ended up, because I was a senior coach and they could just put me straight in, and they looked for senior credentials, and I had my MCC, mm-hmm. and it ended up being nearly a $240,000 contract for me over a number,
wow.
a couple of years. So, I mean, but not every coach can say that. I've noticed that the MCC actually gave them that, and so I was curious.
Right.
And I do think your presence is important, and and what you keep reiterating, Darcy, is the congruence between asking your clients to put themselves in a learning position, because that's what we do as coaches, and putting yourself constantly in that position of being a learner yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's no accident that you're as successful as you are, because you've put yourself in the model role of doing and being what you say to others. So
yeah.
That's, I think, such an important part of success that is underrated.
Yeah.
Just sort of doing the basic minimum that you need to get your credential without
mm-hmm.
having that learner mentality may not have you be as successful. But who knows? That may be just a more esoteric type belief on my
mm-hmm.
behalf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where it's hard to pull apart and dissect it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess there's, you know, one other key distinction of where that MCC has made a huge difference for me. I was hired by the University of Wisconsin-Madison to design a professional life coaching certificate course, and in order to be the lead instructor for that, I had to be an MCC. And so that is one other place where it had a huge impact, because I could not have taken on that role without the MCC. So I guess that is one specific place I can tie it to as well. The ICF has very high standards and on their coach training programs that get accredited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. So I'm wondering, as we finish up here, is there anything else you feel would be of value to share in terms of your journey or the tips to really becoming MCC skill level ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just highlighting the things I've said. You know, record your sessions, hire an MCC. I'm biased towards someone who is an ICF assessor, because they really are on the cutting edge of knowing what those markers are and what those core competencies are and how they're shifting and changing. And they also, right, they're just right in the mix. And then I'd say don't wait to get a mentor until you're ready to go for that. Get it now, because you don't want to be practicing doing it the wrong way and have to unlearn.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a wonderful thing you said earlier, is that because you were in the process, you had a mentor coach and you're getting feedback all throughout your PCC and then towards your MCC, is that you were getting feedback that helped you
mm-hmm.
to keep your coaching skills separate from mentoring and consulting, etc.
Yeah.
I think that's really a valuable piece I took out of what you shared as well.
Thank you. Yeah.
She laughs.
Well, I'm just thinking, you're so kind. You are the expert. You know all of this, and so thank you for that compliment.
Well, I may know it, but and I certainly, you know, I'm lucky that I have a huge influence in my life in my husband, who's not only an MCC coach, but an amazing personal transformational person. I live and breathe personal transformation and improving coaching skills on a daily basis, besides when I seek outside mentoring that. But I don't often stop to think of what goes into the process. So thank you. You know, really, it's a value to hear it from you, because it makes it clearer as to what's there for coaches to engage with, and you've made some such wonderful points about the journey you've been on and what others can learn from. So is there anything else you want to say in order to complete our call today? I can't help myself. It's one of the things I have to give you the last word here.
Oh, no, thank you. I mean, the only thing I'll end on is just saying to those who are listening to just trust yourself, pay attention to your passion, your resonance, and follow your heart. I mean, that's truly, your journey will look very different than mine. It'll look very different than Carly's. It'll look very different from any other coach. And just trust yourself and lean in. and get the support and resources to keep sharpening those skills. And I believe it'll just pay off tenfold. It certainly has for me.
Thank you so much, Darcy, for your time,
wonderful.
And for your energy and enthusiasm and wonderful insights.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thanks for all you're doing for the coaching industry, Carly.
Thanks.